thank you for studying the Bible with us at BBN. You can hear excellent Bible teaching programming every day at bbnradio.org. Now, here's your lesson from the BBN BI.
We're going to talk about Jews and Gentiles in the Church of God from the Scriptures. Joel chapter 3, verse 2, remember what it says? God says, I am going to bring the nations of this world into judgment. For what? Dividing my land. They already took away most of Israel's land. That whole area that was called Palestine, so-called, was the world recognized it belonged to the Jews. Britain had the mandate, Balfour Declaration and so forth, to make sure that the Jews were brought back and settled in this land, and instead they betrayed the Jews. They let in the Arabs. They kept the Jews out. They armed the Arabs against the Jews and so forth. You may remember 1944. There were still 500,000 Hungarian Jews untouched by the Nazis. Hitler hadn't yet invaded Hungary. Not until he was defeated on the Russian front. And they needed money, and they offered them for $2 apiece to the Allies. For $1 million, you could have saved 500,000 Jews from Hitler's ovens. Britain said, no room in Palestine for them. Nobody would take them. You remember skeletal survivors of the Holocaust driven within sight of Promised Land, driven back by the British Navy, put into camps. And you can count the demise of the British Empire from the time they turned against the Jews. That empire upon which the sun never sank, it's gone. God said, I will curse those who curse you. And you can count on what God said. And God said in Joel 3, verse 2, I'm going to punish the nations of this world for dividing my land. They've already taken most of it away. UN Resolution 181, November 29th, 1947. They finally, after creating Jordan and other nations out of what belonged to Israel, they finally gave Israel 18% of the land that they had originally promised them. And then they've been taking it away ever since. And you remember, Israel has promised the Palestinian state many times on one condition. Just acknowledge that we have the right to exist too. Even in this little tiny bit of land that we finally are pressed down to. They will not acknowledge Israel's right to exist. Muhammad said, remember, the last day will not come until the Muslims confront the Jews and the Muslims destroy them. In that day, Allah will give a voice to the rocks and the trees, and they will cry out, Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him. According to Islam, the last day can't come, the climax of Islam, until every Jew has been killed. This is satanic. We're going to talk about Jews and Gentiles and the Church of God from the Scriptures, and you'll find out the significance of Israel. And if Israel ceases to exist, if Hitler could wipe them out, if Muhammad, the Muslims, could wipe them out, they've won. Satan has won his battle with God. If he could have wiped out Israel before the Messiah came, no Messiah. He would have won his battle. Even after the Messiah came and defeated Satan on the cross, if Hitler or the Muslims or whoever could wipe out the Jews, no second coming, you understand? The second coming is Christ returns to a people who have been scattered to the nations, been gathered back. And they're back in their land, and now he returns to them to rescue them in the midst of Armageddon and to rule over them on the throne of his father David. And if the Jews are wiped out, no second coming. Satan has won his war with God. You begin to understand something of what anti-Semitism is about. It's satanic, and the importance of the Jews. Well, we want to talk a bit about that, but not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, the Church of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. In the process, we may get into a few other subjects briefly as well. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Who was the Passover for? Every Jew, was it not? Who went through the Red Sea? All the Jews. Who ate the manna? All the Jews. Who drank out of that rock? All the Jews. For whom was that serpent lifted up in the wilderness? That whoever would look to it in faith would be healed. For all the Jews. No, but they weren't all saved, were they? Notice what it says. All our fathers were under the cloud. They were led, all of them were led by the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. That's the manna, a picture of Christ. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. Wow, a spiritual rock that followed them. A rock followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Just verse 11 quickly. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Go down to verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do is to be done to the glory of God. Think about that carefully. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. The salvation of man, mankind, that's our ultimate goal. This is what it's all about. Well, before the cross, we had, mankind was divided into two divisions, Jew and Gentile. After the cross, now we have Jew, Gentile, and the Church of God, comprised of Jews and Gentiles. We now have three entities, three divisions, and that's what we want to try to talk about. Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. To try to understand the significance of each is going to raise a lot of questions for us. We need to think deeply. Many Christians more or less ignore the Old Testament, or they have certain favorite verses. I think you remember the poem, "Yes, I thought I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of Psalms or Proverbs, now a verse in Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Proverbs, 1st of Romans. Yes, I thought I knew the Word, but I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar when I read my Bible through. You who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a weary and yawn through a hurried prayer. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look. Try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will bow in very wonder when you read the Bible through and through and through." And I'm hoping that we can all get excited about the Bible as a whole. Let's see if we can get a broader perspective. We can't be very deep. We're not going to cover much of the Bible, but maybe we can get a broader perspective. But we'll give it a try. And where does Israel, where are the Jews? We got Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Where does each fit in? What is God's purpose in God's plan? Now, anti-Semitism, we mentioned, is satanic, and you don't have to throw them in the oven. There are a lot of ways to get rid of the Jews. You ever hear of the 10 lost tribes? It's a myth. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. You have a Passover under Hezekiah. This is after the 10 tribes were carried away by the Assyrians. It talks about Asher, Ephraim, Issachar, Manasseh, Zebulun, the remnant of Israel. Second Chronicles 34, you have a revival under Josiah. That's 100 years after the 10 tribes were carried into Assyria. And in addition to the ones I already named, it names Naphtali. Benjamin refers to Judah and Israel. Jesus didn't think 10 tribes were lost. Remember Matthew 19:28, Luke 22:30? He said to his disciples, "You will sit on two thrones, judging the two tribes of Israel." Is that what he said? "You will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Paul didn't think they were lost. He's speaking to King Agrippa, and he refers to the promise God made to the fathers. He says, "Unto which promise our 12 tribes hope to come." James didn't think they were lost. James 1:1, he writes an epistle to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Revelation 21:12, you have the names of the 12 tribes inscribed on the gates of heavenly Jerusalem. And the official listing, if you want to look it up, you'll find in Genesis 49. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin. Doesn't name Ephraim and Manasseh. They were the two sons of Joseph. How important are Jews? Well, Deuteronomy 32, 8 through 10. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Wow, figure that one out. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Three times in the Bible, Israel is called the apple of God's eye. Lamentation 2:18 and Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. You better watch out what you try to do with Israel. And we're not talking just about a few Jews scattered here and there around the world. We're talking about the nation of Israel. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. This Bible is a powerful book, and we ignore it or neglect it at our peril. 31:8, behold, I will bring them, that is, children of Israel, from the north country, gather them from the coasts of the earth, and so forth. Down to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. God says, nations, you listen to me. I'm the one who scattered Israel because of her sin. I'm going to preserve Israel. I'm going to bring her back in the last days, and I'm going to watch over her, and you better be careful what you try to do with Israel. I would have to say that to the nations of the world today. They're defying God. God said that land belongs to my people, the Jews. It is not to be sold. Leviticus 25:23. It is not to be divided. The land is mine, God says. And the nations of the world are just defying God. And you know where that will lead. It will lead to Armageddon. Well, how important is Israel? Well, I'll just give you some comparisons. The words grace and gracious in the King James, 201 times. Salvation and save, 268 times. Love, loved, lovest, 420 times. Peace, 429 times. Christ and Jesus, 1,538 times. Israel and Jacob, 2,923 times. Wow, this must be an important topic. 203 times God calls himself the God of Israel. Never does he call himself the God of the Americans. Something to think about. Never does he call himself the God of the Arabs. The God of Israel, 203 times. 12 times, probably once for each tribe. We'll turn to Exodus chapter 3 as quickly as we can. Exodus chapter 3, you know this chapter very well. God sends Moses to deliver his people from Egypt. And, well, he says, verse 13, he says, they're going to say, I say the God of your fathers. They're going to say, what's his name? What is your name? God said to Moses, Yahweh, I am that I am. I'm the self-existent one whose existence depends upon another but himself. The existence of all things and beings depends upon me. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You remember in John 8, Jesus said, except you believe that I am. He is in italics. It doesn't say I am he. He is in italics. You don't believe that I am the I am, that I am God, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. And we've got a lot of people who call themselves Christians. Some even claim to be born-again Christians, and they don't believe Jesus is God. Well, they're not going to be in his presence. They're looking to someone less than God to be their Savior. Now, verse 15, God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. Notice, this is my name forever. We have replacement theology in the church today. Oh, the church has replaced Israel. No, we read it in our verse that we will refer to again and again. Jew, Gentile, Church of God. Who makes up the church? Jew and Gentile. When Gentiles become enter into the church through the new birth, is that the end of the Gentiles? No. When Jews enter in to the church, is that the end of Israel? No. We have Jew and Gentile, and we have the church of God. And notice what he says. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The importance of Israel, we were back in Jeremiah 31, go to chapter verse 35. Notice what he says. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. God says, if Israel ceases from being a nation, not just some Jews surviving, a nation, the nation Israel, if that ceases to exist, there's no sun in the sky. There's no stars up there. The whole thing is finished. This is the importance of Israel. But it goes deeper than that. And I'm astonished that the evangelicals who claim to, they certainly believe the gospel, they believe the Bible, and yet they will not face what God says about Israel. Well, we're considering the question. We haven't answered it. Why are the Jews the chosen people? Well, he had to choose somebody, right? It's tied to a land. The land of Palestine? No, it is not the land of Palestine. Go back to Genesis chapter 12, just very quickly. What was the land that he brought Abram into? Verse 5 and 6, into the land of Canaan they came. The Canaanite was then in the land. There are no such people as Palestinians. I'm sorry, I get angry. My wife says, you shouldn't say you get angry. Yeah, but I am angry about it. In the back of my Bible, which is a very good Bible, we've got a map that says the land of Palestine in the days of the Maccabees. What? Another one says the land of Palestine in the days of Jesus. What? This was the land of Israel, folks. When did it get renamed Palestine? 130 A.D., the Romans who destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. rebuilt it as a pagan city with a temple to Jupiter on Temple Mount. You think that upset the Jews? Of course it did. They had an uprising. 500,000 were killed. Thousands were sold into slavery. Scattered. The diaspora and so forth. And in anger, the Romans renamed Israel Syria, Palestina, after the Philistines, Israel's chief enemy. From then on, anyone living there was called a Palestinian. Who lived there? Arabs? No, Jews. This is their land. You chase them out, they come back. I could quote you Arabs testifying before commissions in the 40s and 50s investigating what was going on in the Middle East. Arab leader after Arab leader saying, there is no such place as Palestine. We are not Palestinians. If there are any Palestinians, it's those Jews. World War II, the British had a volunteer brigade, the Palestinian Brigade it was called. They're all Jews. There was a Palestinian Post. It was a Jewish newspaper. The Palestinian Symphony Orchestra, a Jewish orchestra. It was not until in the 60s that the Arabs then began to say, no, we are the Palestinians. We are the descendants of the original Palestinians. The Jews are occupying our land. That's a lie. They are occupying the land that God gave to Israel. Okay, I understand it's a complex problem, and we don't have time to go into that. But go back to Genesis. What does it say? Chapter 13, verse 7. The Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled in the land. This is where Abram spent the rest of his life. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, chapter 13, verse 12. There God said to Abram, for all the land, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. This is all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, Genesis 17, 8, and so forth. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16, verses 13 through 18. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. That's the land that God gave. And this is where Abram spent more than 100 years. So did Isaac. They lived there for more than 300 years. Abram bought a piece of Hebron. He settled in Hebron. There he bought the cave to bury his wife. There Isaac was buried and so forth. All of them. No Muslims were buried there. No Arabs were buried there. It has nothing to do with Arabs. Ishmael was buried many miles away. And yet the Muslims have taken over Hebron. They want to kill every Jew in Hebron. They've had slaughters of Jews in Hebron. Most of all, we want to understand, what does that mean to us? God gave Abram and Sarah a son, Isaac. And then God says, take now thine son, thine only son. God didn't even recognize Ishmael as a son of Abraham and offer him. All of God's promises are in Isaac, and he is asked to offer him as a sacrifice to God. You're going to be called upon to do the same thing. Maybe some of you have already been called upon that a number of times. What we do is to his glory, not for ourselves. Can you surrender everything? Can you give everything up? Even the things God has promised you, even your ministry, whatever it may be. Lord, I'm in your hands. You take it. You take me. Do with me what you will. Well, these are some of the lessons that I think we will learn as we try to study Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God.